Not too long ago, one of our neighbors in Wellesley stopped by my church office to tell me that in October we really ought to be celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day, and I immediately agreed and then explained that we celebrate that here already. Tomorrow, when all our offices at UU Wellesley Hills are closed for the Monday holiday, they will indeed be closed in observance of Indigenous Peoples Day. That's been so for a few years now, and is also the case in many other local Unitarian Universalist congregations, as well as at our UUA headquarters in Boston. Of course, our choice to stand in solidarity with those from First Nations is relatively recent in the span of our problematic history, and we need to own that newness for ourselves. In 2012, the UUA passed a resolution repudiating the doctrine of discovery and other pernicious colonial myths that justify the seizure and settlement of native lands, often by the most dehumanizing methods imaginable. In rejecting the doctrine of discovery, we UUs are also renouncing a holiday that celebrates Christopher Columbus's so-called discovery of the Americas, land masses that were in fact inhabited for millennia before colonizers arrived and established a settler state. We cannot continue to falsify this history. For much this reason, the town board in Wellesley is in the process of drafting a resolution that will officially honor Indigenous Peoples Day in place of Columbus Day. We, as people who reside, work, and engage in Wellesley, acknowledge this town is located on the traditional territory of the Massachusetts people, the local organization World of Wellesley declared, along with other members of the community in support of that town resolution. In addition, the Massachusetts legislature is now deliberating an act that calls for the statewide recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, a holiday celebrated in other American states, such as Iowa, Alaska, and Minnesota. The sponsor of that new bill, by the way, is a state representative who formerly served as a minister of this congregation. Some of you might remember him. Clearly, there's a shift in consciousness around this topic, and this congregation just demonstrates that ever so slightly ahead of the curve. But we cannot be too self-congratulatory, because while we do observe Indigenous Peoples Day at UU Wellesley Hills, we haven't exactly celebrated it as a congregation. Perhaps we are changing that in this sanctuary today. We can listen to the words of Chief Seattle and Black Elk and Lake Tom and Walking Buffalo and Joy Harjo in a new way, with our ears attuned to the sacred vibrations in them. All this year, I am preaching a sermon series on that living tradition which we UUs share, which draws on six spiritual sources in particular. The first of the six is direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. While that experience of mystery and wonder is affirmed in all cultures, it still pervades the spirituality of Native peoples today. This past summer, Oklahoma poet Joy Harjo, a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, was the first Native American to be named the Poet Laureate of the United States. I feel strongly that I have a responsibility to all the sources that I am, to all past and future ancestors, to my home country, to all places that I touch down on and that are myself, Harjo explains, to all voices, all women, all of my tribe, all people, all earth, and beyond that, to all beginnings and endings. Part of what Harjo's work points to is the continued presence of Indigenous peoples in this country and the vibrancy of their cultures. They are far from extinct. They have not been removed from our national landscape, despite some accounts to the contrary. A community read earlier this year for the town of Wellesley was a book titled All the Real Indians Died Off and 20 Other Myths About Native Americans. What its co-authors contend is that this malevolent myth about the eradication of indigenous people is what makes it possible for Americans to erase their presence from our very midst. Whenever those of us in the dominant Eurocentric culture celebrate Columbus and the other conquistadors without acknowledging the obvious evils of colonization, we perpetuate sociocultural and psycho-spiritual violence against natives right here in their traditional homelands. Every part of this earth is sacred to our people. Every meadow and humming insect, all are holy in the memory of our people. We love this earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat, Chief Seattle, leader of the Northwest Nations, told the U.S. Commissioner of Indian Affairs more than 160 years ago. By and large, we Americans have not loved the land as we ought to have, certainly not with the intimacy of people who have heard from the earth the sounds of their own mother's heartbeat. We grew increasingly suspicious of those who did. The failure to hear and see and appreciate the insights of people indigenous to this country has had disastrous consequences, both in terms of ecological devastations and human rights violations. And denying ourselves a direct experience of the mystery and wonder that they found in this place, we have become estranged from a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life as a source of our own living tradition. Yet we can make another choice today. As Harjo observes, most of what is created is beyond us, is from that source of utter creation, the creator or God. We are technicians here on earth, but also co-creators. Like her, we can be amazed by that capacity and humbled by our responsibility for co-creation and recreation as well. Everything is a living being, Harjo explains, even time, even words. Harjo's surname is derived, by the way, from a Creek word that translates as so brave as to seem crazy. So we must select the words we use to narrate our history carefully, for they have powerful implications for our future, the future we will share with all of our siblings. As we move from the middle of October through the end of November, we will be asked to entertain the obvious myths that circulate each autumn, that Columbus discovered America and that the Indians welcomed the pilgrims at Thanksgiving. Alongside more insidious, sometimes contradictory myths, that the Indians were savage warriors on the one hand and pitiable victims on the other hand. Most U.S. citizens' knowledge about Indians is inaccurate, distorted, or limited, the co-authors of All the Real Indians Died Off contend. We cannot allow their lives to either be erased from the historic record or hidden from modern view. By designating the second Monday in October as Indigenous Peoples Day, as supporters of the bill now in the Massachusetts legislature have suggested, we can at long last begin to recognize the centrality of Native Americans in our history and salute their remarkable resilience through centuries of exploitation, oppression, and even attempted annihilation. Residents of Wellesley can do something similar in this town as a gesture of reconciliation, however tentative and overdue it might be. At least those of us in the dominant white culture will no longer collude in misrepresenting a disturbed and disturbing past. Today in America, there are an estimated 567 First Nations in existence. More than 5 million people claim some Native American ancestry, while nearly 3 million claim a solely Native American ancestry. Nearly a third of Indigenous people live in poverty, often on reservations, in substandard conditions. Many of them struggle with mental illness or alcoholism or addiction or a combination of all three. They are underserved and undertreated. So the suicide among them is the highest of any ethnic group in this nation. Native women are targeted by violence at alarming rates. The legacy of intergenerational trauma and terror is making itself felt even now. These statistics indicate the extent of the atrocities that were committed. Our tribe was removed unlawfully from our homelands. 7 generations live under one roof, Harjo has said. That sense of time brings history close within breathing distance. Sometimes that history threatens to smother the present and foreshorten the future. The region of Oklahoma where Harjo was raised was close to the end of the Trail of Tears. What her words and witness recall is that there were those who lived to tell the tale, to embody resilience and resourcefulness, to connect with a strengthening faith that pointed them somehow in new directions. This spiritual vantage brought Black Elk, a Lakota leader and traditional healer living in the last century, to the peak of that mountain where he surveyed the whole hoop of the world. And while I stood there, I saw more than I can tell. For I was seeing in the sacred manner the shape of all things, the spirit, and the shapes as they must live together like one being, and I saw that it was holy. That ability to sense such an intimate connection and through one's direct experience of its power, strengthen it, has been a saving quality of Native spirituality for generations. Through purest perception and intention, the Indigenous have resacralized what colonial wars long ago desecrated, landscapes and lineages alike, and embraced a daring spiritual renewal. This alone merits our recognition, respect, and yes, our reverence. We realize that we cannot survive or live without our relations, Billy Lake Tom writes in his book, Spirits of the Earth. We also realize that they cannot live without us, because all life is in a sacred circle of kinship. For none of us can live apart from the whole. The delusion that we can is perhaps the most dangerous myth of all. In her Eagle poem, Harjo writes, "To pray you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. We pray that it will be done in beauty." That refrain is a common one in Native prayers, which often call on, call out, and call up what is most beautiful in those forces which create and uphold life, as we say in our 6 sources. The beauty resides most luminously in that combination of care and kindness the poet names. And a combined ethic of kindness and care is precisely what will lead us to renounce the systemic cruelty and cultural imperialism that Natives experience every Columbus Day. An unpolluted beauty is a key piece of what we ought to celebrate each Indigenous Peoples Day, because it speaks to a universal human capacity to transcend degradation, abuse, erasure, and neglect. Having said that, Indigenous Peoples Day should not be an occasion for spiritual or cultural appropriation by those of us in the dominant culture, because Natives have known enough dispossession. Rather, this day can be a time of admiration and inspiration. Our living tradition draws from a direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit. And as the Reverend Kathleen Rowlands has said, throughout history, we have moved to the rhythms of mystery and wonder, prophecy, wisdom, teachings from ancient and modern sources, and nature herself. Sometimes, though, the rhythms themselves must change. Today, at both the state and local level, as well as the national and international level, the plight of the First Nations is being called to the attention of the general public. Massachusetts and Wellesley are considering a name change that the United Nations actually proposed several decades ago in protest over the discriminatory treatment of indigenous populations in the Americas. If the U.S. were to finally implement the standards of the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Columbus Day would no longer be a public or civic celebration anywhere in this country. Sometimes I think America was created by a trickster god, Harjo told an interviewer, who asked her about the importance of her being the first indigenous named poet laureate of the United States. In Native traditions, a trickster is one who exposes our folly to us and causes us to question all those things we know for certain. These days, we are hearing the voices of those in First Nations, heeding their wisdom and honoring the abiding integrity of their various religious traditions. Our listening to them is long past due, but it is a beginning, and we use now understand that it further has the weight of a spiritual imperative. When we start to understand the spirit native to nature itself, we begin to recognize that our own nature is itself spiritual. Our souls have a wildness to them that we should not attempt to domesticate or shelter. In the public prayer that he delivered at an earth healing ceremony in Spokane, Washington, Billy Lake Tom, whose native name is Medicine Grizzly Bear, said, "O great Creator, I pray for my relations in nature, seen and unseen, to the good spirits that exist in every part of creation. May there be good health and healing for this earth. May there be beauty above me. May there be beauty below me. May there be beauty in me. May there be beauty all around me. I ask that this world be filled with peace, love, and beauty." This fall holiday, we ask the same, remembering the paths of beauty that the indigenous spirit has pointed out to us, that natives in every First Nation have been crazy brave enough to travel all across this land. May it someday feel like all of ours. May it be healed, and someday, for all those children of one mother and one father, may it be made whole. Please rise in body and spirit and join in singing our last hymn this morning, number 74, in your gray hymnal on the dusty earth drum, number 74.